You are listening to IP Management Voice, your podcast about the world of IP and IP management. We talk about the smartest minds in the knowledge economy so that you can learn from them. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to our newsletter and research the latest topics on our content platform, Dplex, with the world's most important experts on IP and IP management. The content featured in today's episode on the IP challenges arising in smart cities comes from Dana Robert Colarulli.
We're living in a time where cities are transforming, right? Mm-hmm. Becoming these super interconnected hubs powered by, you know, the Internet of Things, AI analyzing tons of data.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get caught up in how amazing all the tech is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this underlying element, often overlooked, that makes all this innovation possible. Intellectual property.
Yeah, key.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the legal framework protecting all the creativity behind how our cities are getting smarter.
And what's really fascinating is that IP isn't just like an afterthought in smart city development.
Right.
It's absolutely fundamental to the whole thing.
Right.
We're talking about protecting the original work that makes everything run smoother.
Yes.
From traffic flow to energy grids.
Yeah.
Things that directly affect how we live in cities every single day.
And that's precisely what we're diving into today.
Yeah.
We've been looking closely at an interview with Dana Robert Colarulli.
Okay.
You know, the executive director of the Licensing Executive Society International.
LESI.
LSI, yeah.
Yeah.
And Dana brings a ton of experience to this topic.
For sure.
He's an attorney, and he's been navigating this complex world of technology, law, and policy, especially IP, for over two decades.
Wow.
And as the head of LESI, he's basically leading the charge on global discussions about all this.
Right at the forefront of it all.
So what we want to do today is really unpack the biggest IP challenges and opportunities within smart cities.
Okay.
Drawing directly from Dana's insights.
Interesting, yeah.
So Dana's interview really highlighted this key challenge.
Yeah.
Smart cities, they have enormous potential, right?
They're huge.
But realizing that potential means we've got to carefully navigate all the IP laws.
Yeah.
In a way that both encourages and safeguards innovation, but also serves, you know, the greater good.
The public interest, yeah.
Right.
It's like walking a tightrope, making sure progress isn't held back by legal complexities.
Exactly.
It's a balancing act for sure.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Copyright and software protection.
Okay.
Think about a smart city. So much of how it works depends on software.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Managing traffic lights,
mm-hmm.
public transit systems, even emergency services.
It's all running on code.
All rely on complex code.
It's like the city's digital nervous system, kind of,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
It's the backbone.
Yeah, exactly.
And as Dana pointed out, copyright law is what protects those original lines of code,
yeah.
And the databases behind all these essential systems.
Right.
But the challenge is, how do you protect the unique design and how the software works, while also making sure all these different smart city systems
and like different apps on a phone
can talk to each other and work together.
Right, right.
Without, you know, bumping into someone's copyright.
Yeah, without any legal issues.
Yeah.
It's like making sure all those different apps on your smartphone made by different companies can all play nice together legally.
And then there's the whole licensing issue, right?
Oh, licensing, yeah.
Dana talked about this dilemma that cities face.
Okay.
Do they go for proprietary software? Which could offer, you know, tailored solutions.
Like made just for them.
And dedicated support. But it might lock them into one vendor.
And lock in, yeah.
And limit their options later.
Right.
Or do they consider open source options?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Which can be more flexible.
And cheaper, too.
And cheaper, yeah. But then you have questions about long-term security.
And who's going to maintain it all?
Right. Who's responsible?
Yeah.
It's a tough choice.
Dana brought up a really interesting point about this.
What's that?
He said that with proprietary software, you get those guaranteed service levels and all, but the city could become so dependent on one company.
Right, that makes sense.
With very little control over, you know, future updates or costs, which is a big concern.
That's a real risk.
It is.
But then with open source, you get that collaboration.
Right.
And potentially more community-driven innovation.
Yeah.
Cities have to be ready to handle the security and updates themselves,
mm-hmm.
or find reliable partners who can help.
Right, within that open source world.
So we've talked about the digital side of things.
Okay.
Let's move to the physical infrastructure of a smart city.
Okay, yeah.
All the sensors, the connected devices.
The actual hardware.
Yeah, and all the innovative materials being used.
That's where industrial property and patent protection comes in.
Exactly.
Dana explained that patent law is crucial for encouraging those advancements.
Yeah.
He specifically mentioned the explosion of IoT devices and sensor tech,
right,
which are basically the senses of a smart city.
Like the eyes and ears.
Yeah, and the nervous system, all rolled into one.
And he pointed out that the increasing number of patents being filed in this area shows just how commercially important these technologies are.
It's a competitive market.
It is.
Companies are investing tons of money into R&D.
Right.
And using patents to protect their inventions.
And here's where it gets really interesting. Because smart city projects are often these huge collaborations.
Oh, yeah.
With all sorts of players.
Lots of stakeholders.
Tech companies, governments, universities, even citizen groups.
Not so complicated.
So, as Dana was saying, who actually owns the IP that gets created in these projects?
That's a huge question.
It is.
Dana stressed that with so many different parties involved,
yeah,
you absolutely have to define who owns what.
Right from the start.
From day one.
Yeah.
This often means setting up IP agreements and possibly cross-licensing deals.
Cross-licensing? What's that exactly?
So cross-licensing is basically where different organizations agree to let each other use their patented technology, but with specific conditions.
Okay.
It helps everyone work together without worrying about lawsuits.
So it encourages collaboration.
Exactly. It's all about creating a legal framework that supports innovation.
Now let's talk about data protection and ownership.
Okay.
Because smart cities are, by nature, collecting and processing huge amounts of data.
Mm.
And that brings up serious questions about privacy.
Yeah.
And who controls all that information.
Absolutely.
Dana really emphasized how important data protection and ownership are.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about a massive amount of data.
Huge amounts.
From traffic patterns and energy use to even personal information.
Like where people are going.
Yeah. It's sensitive stuff.
It is. And if it's not handled properly, it could put people's privacy at risk.
And that's a big concern.
Huge concern.
So how do we even start to find the right balance?
Well, Damon talked about how crucial it is to implement strong data protection measures.
Like what?
Things like encryption.
Encryption.
Basically scrambling the data so it can't be read by anyone who shouldn't have access.
Okay.
And anonymization, removing any information that could identify a person.
Right. So you can't tell who the data belongs to.
Exactly.
So you've got the privacy aspect, but Dana also talked about who actually owns all this data?
The ownership question.
Yeah. Is it the citizens?
Because they generate it.
Right. Through using the city's infrastructure.
Right.
Or the businesses providing the services.
Or the city government itself.
It's not an easy answer.
No, it's not.
And Dana stressed that we need clear agreements.
Absolutely.
That lay out who can access the data.
Use it.
And potentially even profit from it.
It's about being transparent.
And ethical.
Yeah. And thinking about fair ways to share any benefits.
Like, if data is used to improve public transit,
mm-hmm.
who benefits from that?
Right.
And should those who provided the data get something back?
It's an interesting question.
It is.
It really is.
Now, this interconnectedness we see in smart cities,
mm-hmm.
while it offers all these benefits,
yeah.
it also creates a big vulnerability.
In terms of cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity, exactly.
Like having this super sophisticated network.
But a weakness in one spot could compromise the whole thing.
The whole system.
Dana really highlighted those cybersecurity risks.
He did.
And those vulnerabilities could be used to access personal data.
Which is bad enough.
But even worse, they could target the software that controls the city's functions.
Yeah.
Think about traffic systems being hacked.
Or power grids being shut down.
That's scary stuff.
It is.
And Dana gave some examples.
Okay.
Like outdated software.
Right.
Poor network designs.
Mm-hmm.
And inadequate security protocols.
All potential entry points for hackers.
It sounds like a major concern.
It is a major concern.
So what kind of solutions did he talk about?
Well, Dana stressed the need for strong security measures from the very beginning.
When they're designing these systems.
From the ground up.
Yeah.
Things like firewalls, intrusion detection systems that monitor for suspicious activity.
Right.
And strong encryption to protect data.
And he also said that cybersecurity isn't a one-time thing.
No, it's ongoing.
It needs constant attention.
Yeah, regular audits to find and fix vulnerabilities.
Okay.
And updates to patch any weaknesses.
So it's about protecting both the infrastructure and the IP.
Absolutely.
Dana also talked about this balancing act between using open source and protecting proprietary IP.
Right. That's a tricky one.
It is.
There are valid points on both sides.
Yeah. What are the main arguments?
Well, as Dana explained, open source can really speed up development.
Okay.
And it's often cheaper because you're sharing resources and you get collaboration from a wider community, which can lead to better code sometimes.
Right.
But he also pointed out that the very nature of open source
with its publicly available code can be risky for those who've invested in their own proprietary solutions.
Because it potentially exposes their innovations to competitors.
So how do cities and tech companies handle this?
Dana suggested a strategic approach.
Yeah.
He said open source can be good for ensuring different systems can work together.
Interoperability.
Yeah, and for making things scalable for a whole city.
Right.
But proprietary solutions are better for areas where you need a competitive edge.
Like a unique feature or something.
Yeah, or a specific functionality that solves a particular urban need.
So it's about knowing when to be open and when to be exclusive.
Exactly.
Did Dana mention any specific legal tools for managing IP rights in these open source projects?
He did. He talked about things like open source licenses that are designed to protect certain IP rights.
Even though the code is open.
Right. And contributor license agreements, which clarify how contributions to the project are managed.
Right.
And he also mentioned hybrid licensing models.
Okay.
Like dual licensing, where software is offered under both open source and commercial licenses.
So you can cater to different needs.
Exactly. Different users and different business models.
So it sounds like LESI, the organization Dana leads, is really at the center of all these discussions.
They are.
And shaping how IP is handled in this area.
Absolutely.
What exactly is LESI's role?
Dana said that LESI is a global organization focused on licensing and IP.
Okay.
And they provide a platform for these important conversations.
A forum.
Yeah. And he specifically mentioned their annual conference in Singapore happening in April 2025.
Got it.
And it's going to be a key event for discussing strategies for using and protecting intangible assets in smart cities.
And Singapore itself is a leader in smart city initiatives.
A perfect backdrop for this discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, what kind of future developments do you think we'll see in the IP landscape, especially as it relates to smart cities?
Well, Dana thinks we'll see a bigger focus on clear rules for data ownership.
Okay.
And strong agreements about data access and usage.
And with AI becoming more integrated in smart cities?
Yeah. AI is a game changer.
It's going to bring a whole new set of IP challenges.
Definitely.
Like, who owns the AI algorithms?
Right. And the data used to train them.
And the IP rights of anything the AI creates.
It adds a whole other layer of complexity.
It does.
Dana also thinks we might see new IP protection mechanisms.
New legal tools.
Yeah, specifically designed for smart city innovations.
Because the existing ones might not be enough.
Right. They might not fit neatly into the traditional categories.
And finally, Dana stressed the need for more international collaboration.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to IP in smart cities. Because these technologies are being developed and used all over the world.
Global cooperation is key.
So if we had to sum up Dana Robert Colarulli's message about the connection between smart cities and IP, what would it be?
He's saying that if we want to create truly innovative and successful smart cities, we absolutely have to properly manage and integrate intellectual property rights.
It's not just a legal detail.
No, it's the foundation for innovation.
For collaboration.
And ultimately for realizing the full potential of these smart urban environments.
So understanding and navigating these complex IP issues is essential for anyone involved in building smart cities.
City leaders, tech companies, everyone.
To make sure their initiatives are cutting edge and legally sound.
And sustainable in the long run.
Exactly.
As Dana's interview shows, knowing the ins and outs of copyright, patent law, data protection, and cybersecurity is not optional anymore.
It's a must-have.
It's essential for bringing about this smart city revolution responsibly.
It really makes you think about the long-term impact of IP rights in our increasingly digital cities.
Yeah, it does.
Could we see future conflicts over ownership or licensing of these key technologies?
Mm-hmm.
Could that actually hinder our progress towards creating more efficient, sustainable, and livable cities?
It's a question worth pondering.
Definitely something to keep a close eye on.
Absolutely.
Fascinating stuff.
It really is.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.